Good morning, or good afternoon. Oh my gosh. How are you guys doing today? All right, well, we got a very different Sunday morning for you today, or Sunday, oh my gosh, there I go again, Sunday afternoon, but it is a very important one. Pastor Shadrach and myself have the privilege of being with you guys today, and we'll be co-teaching a message today entitled Swipe Up, Vigilance in a Digital Age. So if you have your Bibles, please open with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Now, this message comes in a time where the technological advancements of our age are unparalleled in human history. This comes in a time where, for the last year and a half, the world has relied on technology like never before during this COVID mania. Technology is all around us and is only increasing at such rapid rates. It is certainly crazy. And, over this last year and a half as well, we've seen a lot of good come out of connecting each other through technology, but we've also seen a whole lot of evil as well. You know, as Christians, what should our engagement with technology look like? As Christians, what ought our screen time to look like? As Christ followers, how should we treat technology in our homes? It's unfortunate, but many people swipe up in ignorance without thinking of all the negative effects that can certainly come from it. We can give our children and kids iPads and hand our teenagers phones without supervision and stare blankly at a screen all hours of the day. As I said before, technology has its benefits, but it does not mean that we shouldn't be vigilant in it. And so we hope this message today for all of us, everyone included, is both a heart check and a home check. So if you use technology, which I would believe is each and every one of us, because we're even using it in this place as we gather together today, then it's applicable to you. If you have kids and grandkids, we want to encourage you to listen up a little bit more closely as we seek to inform and equip you to the best of our ability. And so let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and we'll pray. Scripture here says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Father in heaven, this is your word. And we look to you now to bring us understanding and the proper interpretation and application. God, we pray as we step into what you have for us during this service, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would search our hearts and do that examination. And we would be able to look at our lives and see your word and then act accordingly. God, help us to be obedient. And in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, it is so imperative that as Christians, we are sober and vigilant over our lives and over our homes. And honestly, we can't afford not to be. And so as we look at this verse for a moment, I want you to point your eyes back to your own Bibles, or it's also up on the screen. But we see 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober and be vigilant." We see that Peter gives these two very clear commands. They might be simple, but they doesn't mean that it's easy to put into action. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Two commands. Now, the idea of being sober here is to have self-control. It is to be able to curb the controlling influence of our emotions and our desires. Now, Peter isn't just referring to the consumption of alcohol, but so much more. That as Christians, this is not the only time in Scripture that we see talk about this idea of being sober, of being clear-minded to the ability to have control over ourselves. And the second one goes along right with it. Be sober and be vigilant. The idea of vigilance is not living life asleep. It is to be alert and awake and aware. And Peter, again, is not referring to, you know, skipping the afternoon nap, which some of you might be looking forward to. The idea is to live a life aware. You see, God has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. But that doesn't mean that that happens automatically, that we walk in the light. That has to be a conscious effort, according to the book of 1 John, that we have to walk in the light as he is in the light, to be sober and to be vigilant. Now, Peter doesn't just give us these two commands, but he gives us the reason why. He gives us the basis and the purpose for which he is saying to do these things. And look at the rest of the verse with me. He then says, because, right? That's our connecting word. He says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the reality here today, you and I as Christians, we have an adversary. The Bible talks about him. Jesus talked about him. It is the devil. And he is described as our hostile enemy, the enemy of our soul. And right here, we get an insight into what does he do? And what way is he an enemy of our soul? What are his intentions? Well, notice it says that he is walking about and seeking, meaning that Satan is not on the defense. He's not just trying to hold his ground. He is trying to advance as much as possible. And in our lives and in our homes, he is doing whatever he can to get his foot in the door. He is walking about. He's seeking. He's seeing the weak parts. Now, in no way does this mean we need to fear, but we need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. We need to be understanding of the reality in which we live. So what does he want, though? Well, notice he wants to devour. The last word in verse 8, he wants to devour. It literally means to swallow up, to destroy, to drown entirely. See, Satan doesn't just want a little bit. You give him an inch, he will certainly take a mile. That he does not play by the rules. He will fight dirty and he will hold nothing back. And I believe that in our age, one of the most common ways, one of the most common things, that the most common doors that are left open in the lives of not just believers, but unbelievers, is the use of technology. It is a stronghold in the lives of so many. You know, it's interesting. We, at nights, you know, we lock our doors, we shut our windows and close the curtains, turn the security system on. We're so protective, yet sometimes the most damaging thing to our families is not from the outside, but from our phones, from our computers. And it's an inside job. I see it so often where families do so much to protect their kids, so aware, yet they hand their teenager a smartphone with unlimited access to the internet. See, in no way, listen, is this message designed to be a fear tactic so that you go home and take your iPhone and your computers and gather up the TVs and throw it in the pool. In no way. We are using technology as I speak, whether it's the microphone, whether it's the screens, whether it's the people that are tuning in with us live now or the ones that will watch later. You see, when used for God's purposes, technology is an amazing thing. I mean, think about how God has used just this place alone, has used technology for the furtherance and the advancement of the gospel. It has been awesome to just be a part of and witness what God has been doing. And so it's not the fact that technology is evil, but it is the fact that there are dangers to it. It is what we do with it that makes it good or evil. You know, even in crafting this message, as I was typing, I was using technology, right? There's endless possibilities for good. We can stream Bible studies and listen to worship music. We can download podcasts. We can connect with family members who are abroad. There are endless possibilities for good. But it also means there are endless possibilities for evil. I believe that technology is honestly, it is a gift from the Lord. The fact that we are able to create in the way that we are, that is an attribute and a sign that you and I are made in God's image and that He is Creator God, and so we're able to create things. The problem is that so often we take the things that God has given us, the ability to create His resources, and we pervert them. We use them for selfish purposes. We use them for evil purposes. And isn't that the MO of Satan, right? Taking, he's a con artist. He takes what God has created and he twists it. But on the flip side, there is so much evil that can be done through technology. And the most obvious evil is simply, I believe, the amount of time wasted. See, maybe Satan can't get us to do certain things or look at certain things, but maybe he can just get us so distracted that we have no time for the things of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 say this: "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Is this verse not applicable to you and I today? You know, people talk about the Bible not being relevant. That's pretty relevant. Redeeming the time. How many time wasters do we have accessible to us in this 21st century? So I believe one of Satan's biggest tactics is to get us distracted. But God desires us to redeem the time, to buy back the time, and to use it for his glory. I want to show you this graph. The Nielsen Total Audience Report from August 2020 reports this, and it's rather mind-blowing. So if you notice at the top, there's a lot of information on the graph, but notice the top says quarter one, 2020. And then it has the quarter one, 2019, quarter one, 2018. So this is the average time spent per adult, 18 plus, per day based on the U.S. population. And 2020, which maybe is not too surprising, is 12 hours and 16 minutes. You're reading that. That's not 12 minutes. That is 12 hours of consuming technology. I'm not saying all that is bad, but that's a lot of time. And we see this trend, right? We see this shift that has moved so quickly in the past 20 years, the past decade, and it is just getting quicker and quicker. And you see 2018, right? I mean, 11 hours, that's still an absurd amount of time. And you can see at the bottom the different things of how that is made up. But what's the point? There is a lot of time spent. There's an article that was written by the AACAP, which has to do with children and certain things regarding health. This article written in February of 2020 says this: on average, children of ages 8 to 12 in the United States spend 4 to 6 hours a day watching or using screens. Teens spend up to 9 hours every day. While screens can entertain, teach, and keep children occupied, too much use may lead to problems. Now, I want to change that last part. It says may lead to problems. It will, and it is leading to problems. And we're seeing it here at the church. We're seeing it in our culture. You know, it's one thing for adults. Now, no adult should be spending that much screen time. You know, and especially us as Christians, we need to be redeeming the time, living for the Lord, not distracted by, you know, 2 Timothy talks about how a soldier of Jesus Christ shouldn't be entangled with the things of this world. That we should have the balance more than anyone. And it's one thing for an adult, but how much worse for our children, our teens? Their brains are still developing. And the amount of research that is out there and is continuing to come out regarding the effects of this mass amount of screen time for our kids, it's something to be pondered for sure. So other than just wasting time, What are some of the negative effects of too much social media and screen time? Well, there's a study that was done regarding the effects on our brain. It says this: increasingly, research has found that our reliance on technology is altering to the way that we think, act, and engage with other people. For example, an international 2019 study done by the NICM Health Research Institute found that the internet can alter different areas of cognition, including our ability to recall parts of our memory. Now, I don't know about you, I don't need any more help forgetting things. So that's how it affects maybe some adults and no doubt our children. But notice this study published in 2020, so just last year. This is how it affects ages 12 to 17. There was a study done from Ontario Child Health Study, and it showed that a sample of 2,000 adolescents, they took 2,000 adolescents from ages 12 to 17 years old, children who reported 4 or more hours of, notice, passive screen time, meaning that it is screen time not for educational purposes, but, you know, scrolling on social media, watching TV, YouTube, whatever it may be, that for these, they were 3 times more likely to meet the criteria for major depressive episodes, generalized anxiety disorders, and social phobia. And the reality, and I can tell you as a youth pastor, we are seeing the effects of this. We are seeing students that are coming to us freaking out because they have social anxiety, this social phobia. We are ruining our kids in so many ways if we allow them this amount of screen time. You know, there's so much more research that we simply don't have time to get into today, but I would encourage you, go and do your own. With how much technology is a part of our world, we better be educated. We better be aware of the effects. And we could go on and on today, but the study on decreased attention spans, the studies on how it has impaired our relational and social skills. It's been increase in insomnia, let alone we haven't even gotten into the potential for pornography exposure, explicit content. I believe the average age for a person to be exposed to pornography is 11, and that's on the safe side of things. And that comes through technology. And not to mention, we might know and realize, okay, there's a lot of pornography, and that's infiltrated our technology, and all that kind of stuff. But also exposure to radical, unbiblical ideologies that our youth are being consumed with. Watching YouTube videos and learning about socialism or the LGBTQ community and persuasive videos, and they are being persuaded. And this is all through technology. And people, this is only the tip of the iceberg. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus gives us a very important, relevant insight that what goes into our eyes affects the rest of who we are. Now, you might think, well, those stats are for people outside the church and, you know, teenagers in the world without Christ. Well, before you begin thinking that you stand, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. We did an anonymous survey this last Sunday, and I have to share with you quickly with our youth. So our youth here up in our junior high and high school room, we did a technology survey just to kind of see where they're at in kind of preparation for today's message. And one of the questions was regarding who has a smartphone. For junior high, about 70% of our junior high students have a smartphone. High school, 95%. So 5% do not have a smartphone. And look, we're not saying that you need to, again, throw your students or your own iPhone in the pool. Remember, we're not talking about that. But the kicker is really the next one. that one of the other questions we asked was, how many of you have unrestricted, unmonitored access to the internet? Junior high, 40%. This is not the school down the street. This is in our youth rooms. 60% for high school. It is too much. The exposure on the internet is simply too much. The last kind of data I'll share with you is regarding their average time on devices per day. And this is for all of our youth, 7th to 12th grade. About 85% of our students spend at least 2 hours on their devices every day. Okay, 2 hours. Over 50% of our students spend more than 4 hours a day on their devices. 25% spend 6 hours or more. Now, with all these statistics out there, we must not let our children become part of it. We must not become part of it. You know, this message today comes from a place of love and care. See, you are the gatekeeper of your home, whether it's for yourself personally or it is for your kids. And what happens in your home is your responsibility. And today we desire to take away that excuse of "I don't know." And it's clear that, you know, today is an important topic and we must be sober. We must be vigilant, as the Bible tells us. The enemy gains so much ground through it, but how do we push back? How do we become vigilant in this digital age? Well, as Pastor Shadrach comes out, he is going to address the how to. He's going to address the now what. I'm looking forward to him giving you guys the practical direction on how we can safeguard our own hearts and safeguard our own homes.
Okay, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Boy, has knowledge increased. And we know, sitting in this church, we are in the end times, right? There is so much information out on the internet, it's unquantifiable. All information accessible to you through a smart device. Has technology changed? Guys, put up the picture. Technology has changed a lot. It's kind of laughable because all that you could put on that computer on the left, the phone on the right that fits in your pocket, surpasses it by billions of bits of data, I'm sure. So it's changed a lot. Look, when I started in 2003, no students had cell phones. Now, only 5% don't. Back then, nobody texted me because, you know, they didn't have phones. And then when they started getting phones, I remember when the first student texted me. And I was like, I called him. I was like, "Why are you texting me? Just call me." That's the world I grew up in, right? Now I say, "Don't call me, just text me." It's a lot easier if you just text me. I don't know how long I'll be on the phone if you call me. Remember how hard it was to send a text message back then? You guys, I don't know, over 35, you feel my pain? Well, maybe younger, I guess there might be. Anyways, you had to hit the button 3 times to get one letter. Think of the suffering that we went through for this generation. I won't even get started on rotary phones. And yes, I do remember them because my great-grandmother had one in her trailer. Don't ever dial the wrong number on a rotary phone. You'd start all over again. So technology has changed, and I just want to reiterate, like Joel already said, that technology is neither good nor evil. It's just technology. It's like a gun. Everybody wants to say guns are evil. No, people are evil. People are evil, okay? It's how it's used. And the same is true of a computer. A computer, a smartphone, or whatever, just in and of itself, it can be used for good and to do good things in the way the church is using technology, but it can also be used for evil. And I want to say this, it's not just that we're concerned about your student using it for evil, it's really also the world that wants to use the technology for evil against your family. And that's really what you need to be aware of today. So our first point as we look at this is swipe up and start a conversation. swipe up and start a conversation. It might become very aware to you during the course of this message that maybe you gave out too much cell phone time or just a cell phone period or whatever, and maybe the Lord would show you there's a better way, and you might have to start a conversation with your child about, okay, look, I gave you the phone, but we're going to have to go in and make some changes on how much you can do and how much time you spend on it. Your child's going to be a little bit bummed out, but if they know that you have their best interest in mind, they're going to go along with you after they have a tantrum. Okay, so what does it say in Proverbs 22, verse 6? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So this is important that you understand that raising up your child isn't just something that you tell them. It's not just church on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday is just do whatever we want. This is every day. I like there's a band called Everyday Sunday. Right? And this is the way we need to approach our parenting. Every day Sunday, every day of the week, we're going to engage in our children's lives, and we're not going to just turn them over to YouTube. Here's the thing. You need to teach them, not YouTube. You need to teach your kid, not YouTube. And here's the problem. Many students are lost before they even get to college. I know a lot of people look and say, well, it's the colleges. No, it's the colleges, and it's YouTube, and it's social media, and it's wherever they're getting their influence from. Because if they're not getting it from you, they're going to get it from somewhere. And if we have just unaware given them some technologies and they're in it, we might find ourselves in a world of hurt. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And by the way, for a message that's really focused on technology, we do have a lot of Bible verses. We want you to understand, we're not just coming out here and talking to you about just technology, but the scriptural reason why we need to be vigilant and that we need to safeguard our homes. So in Colossians 2:8, it says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. YouTube is the worst place for a teenager, or anyone for that matter, to go get their theology, unless it's Pastor Jack, right? Many students get on YouTube and they start watching, and you know what YouTube, through their algorithms, or any of these social media platforms for that example, they use their algorithms to try to determine what you might be interested in. So what they start doing is you watch a video on this and they give you another video that's not that, but is close to it. Then you watch that video and then now they give you a video that's close to that video, but not so close to the other one. And they keep doing that until pretty soon, whatever other videos you're watching have nothing to do with the very first thing you watched. You understand that you're the target audience. All YouTube wants you to do is stay tuned in. They don't care what you're watching in reality, unless it's something they don't agree with, like your conservative values, okay? Which I will remind you throughout this message that the world doesn't value your values. And it should be no strange thing to you when the world begins to attack you for what you believe and what you stand on. And we're going to talk about how to do that in the right way. Now, I know students that have grown up in our church, raised in a Christian home. They've been homeschooled or Christian private schooled, and they turned out atheist socialists. Why? YouTube. And they did it while they were in high school, and they did it while they were young in high school. So I will not blame the college for those. I will blame YouTube, because they were the ones that went onto YouTube and they viewed hours and hours and hours. And as we've already stated, their minds are immature and unable to handle the amount of information. And then someone comes along and says, well, you know, Jesus was really a socialist. I'm sorry, Jesus was not a socialist. By the way, save your letters, because I won't read them. I'll tear them up and throw them in the trash. I don't care. Even if you put your name on it. You put your name on it, I'll still throw it away. I might even videotape myself throwing it away. So just know that. Save your time and your breath and try to argue with me. So what do? We need to display for our kids the appropriate behavior that we want to model with our technology. That's why I don't think you just round up your technology and throw it away. We live in a world run and governed in large part by technology. There was a lot of articles, and I didn't have the time to put all this in, but they basically call this the race to the bottom of the brainstem. And what they're doing is and it's changed the way we live. It changes the way we do things. But they began by phones and tablets, and now they're going to wearables. Things that you're wearing. Okay, it starts with a watch, and then it goes from a watch to glasses, and then it's going to go from glasses to an aluminum foil hat that makes you a robot or something. But they're marching towards controlling your behavior and manipulating you through these devices. You need to be aware of what Satan can do, not only in the teenagers' lives, but your life as well. Now, many of these things are great enhancements to our life, but oftentimes they're just big distractions. So we need to make sure that we are teaching them how much time is appropriate by setting an example. Look at 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Now, a lot of people think, oh, okay, the Bible study, we got our Bible study. Okay, we did our thing for Sunday, and then they leave. Might I remind you, the Bible study starts when you leave those doors. What good does food do you if you just went and ate it and immediately you excreted it out of your body and not one bit of it was used to give you energy? You understand the purpose of eating is to live. We don't live to eat. We eat to live. And it's important that you understand there's a parallel with that to the Word of God, that we take and ingest the Word of God, and then we don't just go out and do what we want to do. We ingest the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I study the Word of God so that when I know what the Word of God says, I can go out and do the Word of God. That's the most important part. Don't negate that part, because here we're to be examples in our conduct. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think, we'll just say student A and student B, which student would be more likely when they get out, and I'm not saying entirely it's just without fault going to be this way, but which student would be more likely to follow Jesus? Student A, whose family comes to church on Sunday and then models and exhibits the behavior from Monday to Saturday, or B, the family that goes to church on Sunday and every other day of the week they do whatever they want? Student A or student B? A. Student A. And so we've got to make sure that we're doing that. Okay, so 3 John 11. It says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." So we want to set the example for our kids. We want to set the example for our neighbors. We want to set the example for whoever we might come in contact with. All of you have a sphere of influence. Everyone in this room has somebody that's watching their life. You might think, well, nobody's watching me. Oh, no, trust me. Your neighbors are watching you. You're on Facebook. They don't comment on any of my posts. Oh, they're watching you. They've scrubbed what you say. They know what you're doing. They know who you are. You go out to eat after church. They all know that you're Christians. All of a sudden, there's like 4,000 people only on Sundays, right? And every other day of the week, it's kind of normal. They know. They know, and they're watching, and they're listening. Let's set an example. So here's a few things you can do. Teach your children the consequences of misusing technology and the real dangers of it. There's real consequences to misusing technology. And you've got to be careful, because some things that are done are irreversible. You think, well, I just posted that and then I deleted it 5 minutes later. Oh, but how many people screenshotted it before you deleted it? And by the way, nothing you delete is really deleted. I don't know if you know that or not. If you don't, now you do. You're like, I deleted it. It's gone. Unless you have it on a private server somewhere and you can just burn down the servers. I don't want Hillary Clinton. Okay, I was just... Sorry, I didn't say anything, did I? Did I say that out loud? Teach them that people can pretend to be whoever they want on the internet. Anybody can be anybody on the internet. And what your child doesn't know, because they're immature, is that they assume the best in people. You know, it just takes you to get burned a few times before you get real skeptical. Huh? But children don't have that. Children just kind of like, oh, I trust everybody. Well, what you need to teach them is not online, we don't. They're strangers. You know, the hardest thing with your kids is teaching them, at church we say hi to everybody, but at Costco we don't say hi to everybody. You know what I mean? It's not like you're trying to be unfriendly, but you do need your kids to understand the difference between church and Costco. There is a difference, right? But they don't know. They're just like, okay, we're at church. We say hi to everybody. We're at Costco. We don't say hi to anybody. We just get our food and get out. So they can think they're talking to a 10-year-old child their age. I guess the 10-year-old child their age would mean they're 10 too. But I mean, like, same gender, could be a boy or a girl. But in reality, they're talking to some 40-year-old man. Okay, kind of freaky. Not that 40-year-old men are freaky, but they are if they're trying to talk to a 10-year-old online. They're very freaky. 65% of all teenagers admit to having conversations with people they have no idea who it is in the real world. That's scary. They only know this person digitally. 19% of those teenagers set up face-to-face meetings with a stranger. What would possess them? Because they don't believe that that person is out to harm them. And sex trafficking and child crimes against sexual crimes against children is at an all-time high. Why? Well, because of technology. It's become easy. And I'm going to give you a few ways to safeguard yourself and your children. Teach them to never give personal information to anyone. You don't give personal information to anyone. By the way, you shouldn't give personal information to anyone online. If you get an email and it's saying, oh, hi, this is your bank. We lost your password. We need your password. Why would your bank need your password? We need that. We need your social security number. We need your thumbprint. We need your retinal scan. Can you give all that to us? Oh, sure. It's my bank. It says so on the email. Do not ever reply over any electronic source giving any personal private information to anyone. Period. Okay, that's pretty clear. I think we can move on. Teach them to keep their social media private and only allow other students or family, etc., that they know or you know. Don't just become friends with anyone. There's a lot of pressure for our teenagers to have a lot of followers. Maybe there's a lot of pressure for you to try to have a lot of followers. Let me just say, having a lot of followers doesn't make you more or less of a person. Okay? It's just hard sometimes when you see other people are like, wow, they've got all those followers. Oh, that's, you know, and then you want that too. And so you're trying to do all this stuff. You know, unless you're willing to go the distance that the world's willing to go, you're not going to get it. You know, unless it's good and you're standing for something right, in which case, you know, if somebody doesn't like it, they'll just delete you. Teach them how to use their social media to glorify God, not themselves or their body. Teach them to use their social media to glorify God, not themselves or their body. I have to constantly unfollow people when they start posting pictures of themselves in their bathing suits. There's areas, let me just say this, okay, that there are areas you shouldn't be taking pictures of yourself. I don't care who you are. You shouldn't be taking pictures of yourself in the bathroom. Don't, and I mean, this is just, don't take pictures of your food. I don't care. But your child shouldn't be taking pictures of themselves in the bathroom. You shouldn't be taking selfies of your, you know, just, if you're working out and you want someone to take pictures, go outside and have someone, hey, can you take a picture of me? In the mirror thing, just don't do it. It just looks weird. Plus, you don't know who's going to walk out of the stall behind you. Help your kids understand that likes and followers don't determine their worth. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's what matters the most. I know I'm not only speaking to parents of teenagers. I'm speaking because the Lord wants some of you in this room to let go of the hold that honestly the enemy has on you, over you, in your social media. I know this might feel uncomfortable. Trust me, I wasn't trying to make anything uncomfortable. I'm trying to make it lighthearted and be a little silly along the way. But I want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to be able to come in and say, you need to stop doing this. Because you are a child of God. And you need to bear His image and not the image of fallen humanity. And make sure that you know the difference. Teach them that what they see on social media is only what people want them to see. Nobody posts what's really going on. Oh, I got sick and threw up on the floor, and then here's a picture. You know. Teach them the value of face-to-face conversation. You need to teach your children to look people in the eye. My generation, my dad always told me, you look people in the eye. And it's often that I'll look in people's eyes, because that's the way I was raised. I'll look them in the eyes, and they're like, you know, looking everywhere else. And I'm not trying to make them feel uncomfortable. It's just, that's what I was raised doing, and I don't know anything else. So when I look at people and talk to people, they're like, you know, and I'm like, and then I start, what are they looking at? Are they talking to me? Is there someone else? Teach them that there is a difference between social media relationships and real relationships. This last one, this one might sting a little bit. Before I say it, turn to 2 Timothy. Okay, because I want the Lord is going to, if you need a little exhortation, you know what Pastor Jack does like this, a little exhortation, it's the hand to the caboose, the board of education to the seat of understanding. 2 Timothy 2:24, listen to what it says. A servant of the Lord. Don't read the rest. Cover it with your hand. Quick, quick, quick. Cover it with your hand. Now look at me. How many of you in here are a servant of the Lord? Raise your hand. Oh, here comes the hook. Like, bam. Wait, okay, ready. Here we go. Servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Ooh, how many of you feel guilty now? But be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This is speaking of the unbelieving world, who, by the way, we're engaging with on social media, right? Doesn't matter if it's, you know, Facebook or MySpace or whatever it is that you're using. You're engaging with the world on your social media, and anytime it comes into a real political season, my suggestion to you is you don't engage with people who want to argue and fight. You aren't the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them. You know, you've heard it said before, you don't defend a lion, you just let it out of its cage. Trust me, Jesus doesn't need your help. Okay? So just know that, and we need to teach our kids how to do that. Because the thing is that we get on, and then what happens? You start blocking people, and you're arguing, and you're fighting, and it just turns into a big flesh fest. You don't need to do that. If you're going to post something like, oh, I'm going to go on there, I'm going to post something on pro-life, and or who I'm voting for because they're pro-life, or because they're pro-Israel, because they're pro-marriage, whatever it is, just post it, and then just leave. Turn it off and walk away. When you come back on, and you see all the, you know? You just go like this. or better yet, don't read the comments. Just, if you strongly believe in what you posted, there's no reason to defend it. And you don't owe the world an answer for why you defend the unborn. Remember, there's prisoners of war at stake. They've been taken captive by Satan to do his will. So just remember that. Okay, so swipe up and take time out. We're going to talk about tech-free zones. By the way, it doesn't matter how old you are, these should just be no-tech zones. Okay, number one, family time. Family time should be a tech-free zone. I mean, now you could play video games with your kids or whatever, but it's mostly and entirely tech-free zone, meaning I'm not going to check my emails, I'm not going to check my Instagram while I'm sitting with my kids. If I go out with one of my daughters on a daddy-daughter date, the phones are put away, and we sit, and we drink coffee, and we talk. You know, that's it. And on the drive there and on the drive back, we might listen to some music, but that's it. It's just daddy-daughter time. If it's with my sons, it's daddy-son time, okay? There's nothing else that we want to come in between that time. Now, the average parent spends 38 and a half minutes of meaningful conversation with their children per week. I know, you were like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I spend more than that. It's per week. Which is 5.5 minutes per day. Could you imagine only talking to your kids meaningfully for 5.5 minutes a day? Hey, how you doing? Good? All right, good. All right, see ya. Gotta go to work. Here's what I know. I am a dad. I want to speak to you fathers for just a moment. I am a dad. And I was a child. And I know that dads, we speak this language of, I'm the provider. I put the roof over the head. And that says, I love you. But do you know that that's not what your children hear if that's all they hear? You know that's not what they hear. Because they don't equate you putting a roof over their head with love. That's your job. That's your and my job as a father. That's our job. We need to tell them that we love them, and we need to show them we love them by spending time with them. And we also need to learn their love languages. And we need to speak to them in their love languages. Doesn't your Father in heaven speak to you in a way that you receive love? And so we need to be like our Father in heaven. So spend quality time as a family. Get together, play games, do whatever you need to do. But I want you to remember this, that none of us was born knowing what to say or do. Wouldn't it be nice if each and every child, when they were born, you know, they're born, and then out comes a manual on that kid? Like, wouldn't that be great? He's a little Johnny, you know? He's a little cranky, so make sure you give him breakfast early in the morning. When he's 16, you know, he's going to do this. So this is how you're going to deal with it. None of them do. They come out, and you're like, looking at them like, oh, we have a baby. And then you're like, oh, we have a baby. And then when they're like getting in your car and driving away for the first time, you're like, man, I'll tell you what, becoming a parent and your kids driving will cause you to become a prayer warrior. My daughter, one time she came home, she's like, Dad, there was this big truck behind me and it was tailgating me all the way up the hill. And I said, did you get his license plate number? And I could find him. I'll look him up right now on the internet, find out who he is, where he lives. And I'll go ask, why are you tailgating my daughter? You know, it's like, I just have to pray. Your children don't need more clothes. They don't need more toys, and they don't need a bigger house. They need you. They need you. A bedroom is no place for a cell phone or anything else electronic. Bedrooms, I put on here, no, 1,000 times no. There's a good reason why, because having technology in your bedroom tells your body, hey, I'm in my bedroom where I normally sleep, but we don't only sleep in here anymore. Now we do work in here. Or now we play on games in here. And so when you get in your bed with your technology, you're sending two messages to your body. It's time to go to bed. No, it's not. So your body's like, I don't know what to do. You know, you have a sleep cycle and a wake cycle, right? You understand that God designed you this way. And when you are looking at these devices, they emit blue light, which is the same blue light the sun emits. And what happens is after time, if you're looking at this device over and over again late at night, your body gets all messed up. At night, normally the sun's down and your body's like, okay, it's time to start getting ready for bed. But when you're on your electronic devices super late, your body's like, the sun hasn't gone down yet. We're not ready for bed. And so when a student comes in, one of the first things I will begin to ask them is how much time do they spend on technology? How late? How often do they sleep? Are they eating regularly? Because I'm trying to rule out, if they're depressed, I'm trying to rule out anything physical. Okay, I'm not a doctor, but I've learned to ask good questions, and then I begin to get into the spiritual, and I'm asking everything and trying to figure out what's going on. And so this actually happened, and an administrator from a local school had called and said, I've got a family, they go to our church, and they're having a real hard time with their student. He's super anxious and depressed, and we don't know what to do. They're thinking it's the amount of sports and schoolwork that he had, and when it came in, I found out he was spending 10 hours a day on his devices, and also late at night. And so we just were able to say, okay, we need to stop this part. And then everything else fell into place. You know, it's not bad running around playing sports, just make sure it doesn't replace God. Now, dinner table is another place. We need to be eating dinner with our family. At least research says 3 times a week. I don't have 3 times a week. Make 3 times a week. If you can't make, make as much as you possibly can. Maybe 1 week you do more and 1 week you do less. The goal should be 3. Because 3 is the magic number. Kids who eat most often with their parents are 40% more likely to get A's and B's. Adolescent girls who have frequent family meals and positive atmosphere during those meals are less likely to have eating disorders. Frequent family meals are associated with lower risk of smoking, drinking, using drugs, with a lower incidence of depressive symptoms and suicidal thoughts, and with better grades in 11 to 18-year-olds. I mean, the research is there. As Christians, we shouldn't be like, oh, we don't believe in science. You know, we need to look at the research and go, okay, we need to make sure we're doing this in our families. And so we need to make sure we put down the phone, spend that time, quality time with our families and get to know them. And then we need to swipe up and target the heart. Swipe up and target the heart. We need to target the heart because the heart's the root of the problem. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Jesus says, a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. He says in verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and likewise an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And as you're getting to spend time with your children and listening to what they're talking about, it's a revelation of what's going on in their heart. You can find out what's going on in their heart by their conversation. So the fruit reveals the root. What's coming out reveals what the root is. Is it good or is it bad? Jesus said in John 15:5 that he is the vine and we are the branches. He who abides in him and I in him, meaning Jesus in us, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In Ezekiel chapter 14, God tells Ezekiel that these men have set up idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Social media and all that stuff can cause us to stumble into iniquity. Whatever controls our heart will control our life, and we will live it out in our behavior. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 teaches us, Deuteronomy 6, 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall diligently teach them to your children." Notice that this is exactly what Jesus quoted in the New Testament. And it's known as the Shema. And they were to teach it to their children in the morning, at evening, when they're out walking around, when they saw a little butterfly or a caterpillar, or they saw a beautiful bird fly by, or whatever they were doing. They were constantly talking to their children. And then last, we want to swipe up and take control. Now we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts. Now, I know you might think, well, this doesn't apply to me, and some of you might be tempted to get up and leave. Just do me a favor. We're going to be done here in just a few minutes. Stay seated, because something may really help you personally. Because it's not just our teenagers that we need to protect. You also need to protect yourself online. And some of these things will really help you. As a Christian conservative, I want to make sure that what I'm doing online is safe. I don't want my information ripped off. I want to make sure that, you know, whatever I say is right and it's protected, because I live in the United States of America under the First Amendment. You understand? So there's some devices and softwares that are going to help you and some that won't. So again, avoid extremes, and remember that what we're about to talk about is simply a virtual fence. Sometimes as parents, you remember those little baby gates we put up? And they were great when the kids were little. If you're still trying to use them, they're 16. You're like, all right, you stay in the kitchen. They come over to the gate and they're like, you're like, oh, I guess I need to get a higher fence. So you start putting locks on the cabinets. No food for you, okay? Well, I mean food, but just not all the time because you're a teenage boy. Stop eating already. So here's the things that we need to watch out for, okay? The first one is called Zoomerang. Look at this picture. Now, if you're a teenage girl, doesn't this look appealing? Like all these girls on here, none of them is ugly. Looks fun. Looks innocent, right? And if you're a teenage boy, doesn't this look appealing? Oh, I might go in there and find some cute girl to talk to, right? Okay, so look at this. This is a video effects software that the kids are using to edit videos for TikTok. TikTok blew up. We'll talk about TikTok in a minute. But TikTok blew up and became like this overnight thing. But Zoomerang is an easy video editing software. The problem is it allows tracking, which online predators can use to track your child's location. Oh, I didn't know. Your kid comes to you and says, can I get this app? And you're like, well, what is it? It's just a video editing app. You're like, well, I don't see anything wrong. I should encourage their creativeness. But little do you know that they could probably have their location tracked and some weirdo show up at your kid's school or out at the park or at your front door when you're not home. The second one is TikTok. TikTok, if you remember, gained national awareness under President Trump when it was banned because of the amount of spying they were doing through the app, which later on, President Biden undid. So now they're back in the app stores. They can be used. And so to my knowledge, nothing's really changed. This is a phenomena of all kinds of internet. It started out as a music dance thing, and it's being used for everything, okay? The problem with these sorts of apps, be it Instagram or Snapdevil, any one of them, Snapchat, for those who maybe don't know what it's all about, I lovingly have dubbed it Snapdevil in the high school ministry, and they laugh too. But the reality is that they can get into things in these apps that are very dangerous and very risque, if you know what I mean. The next one is called Discord. Discord was started actually as a gaming communication platform, meaning all it was is like chat rooms of the past. It's just a place for chat rooms about video games. Innocently and harmless as it was maybe in its initial creation, it's been taken over by people who post mature and adult content on there, and there's no way to keep your child out of it, which is the problem with all of these apps. There's no way to keep them out of anything. And by the way, even if this says, you know, 13 and up or 17 or up, they just lie about their age. And unfortunately, parents lie about their children's age to get them these social media platforms. And they just let them until it's too late. So what they might see or hear in here is any man's game. Now, this last one is an absolute period. No, don't ever let your child have it. And that's called Holla. This app is a place that encourages meeting people in person. And so what they do is it's location-based. It says this person is near you. But going back to what I said before, you don't know that the person you're talking to is actually the person that you're talking to. Because they could use one person. They could have a girl, let's say, that pretends she's your friend. Oh, hi. But she's just being used to lure people. And that happens. And it's happened for years before the use of technology. This app has been reported to be filled with men exposing themselves. And to top off the risk factor, they have linked cases to this app of actual crimes against minors. So don't allow this app, period. Now, most messaging apps, I would say, do not use. I'll give you one that I recommend, but most messaging apps, like your text messaging apps that you download to use, you shouldn't use. You should just use the native texting app on your phone. By the way, it came out this last week that the Biden administration wants to police our text messages now over, don't say it out loud because we don't want this censored, over the you know what. You know, for the thing that happened all of a year ago, you know, that thing. There's a certain thing they want you to, you know, if you talk about that in a negative way, they want to know who you are. Oh, I thought we had the freedom of speech in this country. I thought we had a right to privacy. Yeah. Facebook is not your friend. The church has a Facebook. We have a great Facebook. Follow our Facebook. But Facebook is not your friend. Most internet conglomerates are not your friend. You are a dollar sign. You need to remember that. You are a dollar sign. And so you need to take care and take caution. Here's a couple of other pieces of advice before I give you some things I recommend. This is not just my opinion. This is law enforcement officers as well as others that train law enforcement on cyber crimes. Do not use screen names over and over again. So if you have a screen name on one thing, use a different one on something else because it's much harder to track you that way. Don't use real names. Now, at the church here, I mean, I have a church Instagram. Well, not a church Instagram, a private Instagram, but I use it in the youth ministry. I have my real name on there because I don't want you coming on there and being like, well, who is this? What? This is the youth pastor? John Doe? I want you to know it's me. I'm not trying to hide anything, but by and large, we shouldn't. Don't ever allow teenagers to have web browsers on their phone. There's no reason that they should. You have a computer at home, set up a computer in the kitchen, in the living room, wherever, and that's where the web browser is. They want to go online and look up hobbies or watch YouTube, they should do it in the living room, and you should be in earshot. You should be able to hear what they're saying and walk over and watch what they're doing, okay, period. It shouldn't be somewhere private. One last thing is I don't recommend you use Google anything. They steal information, and they are shady about it, okay? So what do I recommend? Okay, web browsers, I recommend DuckDuckGo. Why do I recommend DuckDuckGo? Look, again, is DuckDuckGo a Christian organization? No, it's a web browser. But of all the web browsers out there, it's the best one you can use. Okay, they might be tracking some of your purchases, but they're not tracking you like Google is tracking you. Okay, messaging, I recommend the Signal app. The Signal app is encrypted. I actually learned after the last two services, you can actually make phone calls over it because it's not using your data or your cell phone. It's encrypted and nobody can listen in on what you're talking about. So as a Christian, if I want to be sharing the gospel with someone in Iran, I don't want anybody listening in that conversation. Maybe they get signal, I get signal, and I can freely share Christ. You know? So that's a great app. For a VPN, I know you may not know what a VPN is. You could do a little bit more research on this. But a VPN is a virtual private network. And what happens is when you get on your computer and you go to DuckDuckGo or a website, the church's website, you go through a VPN. The VPN masks who you are and what you're doing on the internet from all of those that would be watching you. So when you type in your password, if you're at a public location, you definitely need to be on a VPN. You're on your phone and they make them for your phone. You need to get on them. I recommend ExpressVPN simply because I had heard it forever on Ben Shapiro's show. And I kept hearing it, And then I would hear it other places. And I was like, Lord, are you telling me I should get this? Because it just kept standing out. So I got it. I got it on my phone. I got it on my computer. If I'm somewhere and I have to put a password in, I don't have to worry about someone fishing next to me, sitting in the same coffee shop, getting my information. So it protects you. It's a protection. The other one for the family we use, it's a location monitoring, is Life 360. I love Life 360 because Life 360 monitors where everybody is in real time. So your family, you create a circle, and you can see when they arrive at a place, you'll get a notification. You'll get a notification when they leave that place, and you'll know how long they were at that place, and you'll know how fast they were driving to get to that place. Yes, for a nominal fee. For a nominal fee, a nominal monthly fee, you can also get crash detection. So if your child is driving or your spouse is driving and they get in a car accident, let's say they were unconscious and not able to call the police after so many seconds or minutes, and I don't remember how long it is, if there's no response from the driver to the phone, they will dispatch fire, local fire or police to the scene, which is pretty amazing. And there's more that you can get from it. Anyways, it's very robust. I love it. I use it for my family. Now, the other thing is if you're looking for something to monitor, a tablet, a phone, or anything like that, then I would recommend Mobisip. It's the longest standing one I've recommended. It's, for some people, a little bit harder to set up, but the user end, once it's set up, is much easier. Now you can sign up for a subscription to this within your app store. So it used to be you had to go online and buy it and then put codes in your phone and all that business. Now you just do it through the app stores. It's much more convenient. But this one is an easy user interface. I like easy. And a lot of the other ones, they haven't been doing it as long. They're a little bit more complicated to navigate. Whatever you do, go find one. Just look up child monitoring software. That's all you have to do. You're going to get the top 10. I would look for reputable magazines like PC Magazine or Wired or someone like that that's done some research on these and try to find what will work the best for you. There's also another one called Bark App. But then there's also, we just got told about a wireless phone option. If you don't want a smartphone for your family, then there's this one called Gab Wireless. Now, I haven't had the time to totally research this. You need to research this yourself. But if you notice down at the bottom there, it says no internet, no games, no social media. Sounds like the phone we all need, right? And so inexpensive, monthly plan is cheap, and you've got a phone. So if your child needs a phone but you don't want them having access to all the other stuff, then check it out. The other thing I was told by those in the know, is that you need to regularly update your computer software. There's malware constantly designed to attack, and all they're trying to do is they're trying to get your key clicks. You know what I mean by that? You type in your password, they're trying to get it. Or they're trying to get you to log into some fake website or whatever to get your money. And so you can protect yourself if you keep your computer's software updated. That goes with your phones as well. Now, for all of the other things, Xbox, PlayStation, Wii, whatever it is that your child has, they all have parental controls. One time I met a guy, he worked for the Call of Duty franchise. And he told me they spend millions of dollars inputting parental controls on these gaming systems that parents never use. I was like, what? On Call of Duty? And he's like, oh yeah. So EA Sports takes that stuff very seriously, apparently, and they went through and they spend lots of money for parental controls, but people just don't know about it and they don't go look. So go on YouTube, which I know I told you earlier not to do too much, but it's a good place for good things, okay? I said, don't get your theology there. Your how-to videos are great. Photography, how-to, you know, how to take pictures of birds. Couple last things. Privacy settings. Don't share your location ever. Don't share your location. Don't take pictures of yourself on vacation and post them on your social media until you get home. Okay? Because you don't want your home burglarized because someone knew you weren't home. And oftentimes, burglaries happen by people you know. They know where the stuff is. They get into the house. They hit you and they're out. And then everybody's like, we don't know who would ever do it. And then you find out later on, you know, it was somebody that you knew that had been in your house previously. Don't share your contacts. Use a VPN and check your wireless provider for controls, parental controls for your devices. Okay, now all of that is done. One last thing. Don't move. Don't anybody move because this is really important. You may have come in here today and you may have been wondering, how does this apply to me? Or you may have come in and said, what in the world kind of church is this? Not a normal one. Okay? And the reason for that is simply because we don't view the scripture as just, you know, this first century document that, you know, we live holy and we walk around and we have rings on our heads. We look at the scriptures that are able to make us wise for the days in which we live. And so that's what this is all about. But maybe you've come in today and you're new. I want to leave you with this before you leave, that God loves you so much, he brought you in here today to be able to hear this message, if it's the only one that you hear before you leave, that he loves you so very much, he sent his son into the world, not to condemn you, but that you, through him, might be saved. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. And I want you to know it's a decision that I made and many of us in here have already made, because we came to the same realization that you might be coming to right now, my friend. And that's that. You're a sinner, dead in your trespasses and sins. You could not earn your way to heaven. So what you could not do, because the law was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son. And he demonstrated his love for you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you on the cross, and he rose from the dead, taking the punishment for your sin and my sin, if you will ask him to take it. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is God, that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. You must repent from your sins. And the Bible says that God will absolutely receive you as his child. So listen, if you want to do that today, we want to do that with you. Before you walk out these doors, I want you to go over to the little door over here on the left. And one of our team members in there will pray with you to receive Christ. They'll give you a brand new Bible, and they'll talk to you more about the decision that you may be making today. If you're watching online, I want you to know you can go on our website and just go to the area. It talks about receiving Christ and follow the instructions there. And let us know that today you've prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And for the rest of us, do me a favor. Close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're someone in here who's realized, I haven't redeemed the time. I've been wasting time. Maybe I realize today I've given my child too much technology, or maybe I just need prayer because, man, it's a lot to take in. And I had no idea the enemy could do so many different things in so many different ways to come after my children Whoever you are or whatever situation you might find you're in, I want to pray for you before you leave. Would you just raise up your hand and say, Shadrach, I'd like some prayer. Please pray for me. God, as I look around the sanctuary and see hands everywhere lifted, Father, you know each and every hand, each and every heart, each and every prayer, and each and every thought. God, I pray that you would meet each and every child of yours right now where they're at. And Father, that they would be able to just completely surrender whatever the situation is to you. Lord, may they walk out of here in the boldness and the confidence of Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to live for you in this dark and present evil age. Lord, may we live to glorify you till our dying breath. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.